Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our priceless treasure to fill the redeemed. A delinquent churchgoer is one who has fallen away from going to the Lord's house and no longer hearing the word of his Lord. Once said to his pastor when he was asked, "Why don't you come to church?" He said, "Pastor, the reason I don't come to church is that I always know in advance what you're going to say in your sermon." To which the pastor replied, "Well, thanks for the compliment. Just read Philippians 3, verse 1 and see what Paul wrote there." Well, Philippians 3, verse 1 is the beginning of our sermon text this morning. And Paul wrote, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." Literally means it's a safeguard. And so in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is telling us why Christians should never tire of hearing the gospel. There are actually two very distinct main thoughts in our sermon text this morning, and we'll be looking at both of them as we go through our text. I'd like you to open up your bulletin and maybe follow along with me as we look at the theme in parts. You can also read along when we read the verses. Again, our overall theme this morning is, why should Christians never tire of hearing the gospel? And the first point Paul makes is that we should never tire of hearing the gospel because God wants his servants to preach it, and he wants his servants to hear it over and over again. When you read Paul's letter to the Philippians, you get to the end of chapter 2, and it sounds as if Paul's drawing his letter to a close. He has some greetings like he does at the end of his letters. It sounds like he's going to end. And then he starts all over again in chapter 3 with that first verse, again saying, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." And he goes into two more chapters on much the same thoughts as chapters 1 and 2 about joy in the Lord and rejoicing in our Savior. That's also one reason why we don't have worship services only once or twice a year, Christmas and Easter. God wants us as Christians to preach his word over and over and over again. He wants us as Christians to hear his word over and over and over again. Why? Because he knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows how frail and weak, forgetful, and sometimes spiritually impotent we all are. He knows how easily we fall into temptations, how easily distracted our mind is, and how quickly we're ensnared and trapped in Satan's attacks and the allurements of this world. Even those of us who weekly renew our faith by hearing God's word, receiving that good news of forgiveness and life and salvation through Jesus Christ, walk out those church doors and sometimes promptly fall flat on our face and trip and fall for the first temptation that comes our way. Listen to the selfish thoughts of our own heart or get led astray by the temptations of this world. So we see from the second point in our sermon theme this morning that God wants his servants to hear, to preach and to hear his word over and over again, because we need the gospel for the confirmation of our faith and for our defense against sin and error. When I first got in the ministry was a young pastor in Milsom, Wisconsin. The president of the congregation was a fire chief of the volunteer fire department. After a while, he came to me and he said, "Pastor, I think you should join that volunteer fire department. You're one of the few men in the city during the day. In fact, you're one of the youngest, only young man in the city during the day. Most of the men worked in Black River Falls, Tomah, or other cities. There was no business really in Milsom itself." And so I joined the volunteer fire department, and it was a good thing. We had twice a month meetings. We had a lot of training, especially in CPR. CPR is not something that you just do once and then you remember it. We had to train and train and train so that at a moment's notice, we could go into action, and there were times when we had to give CPR to someone without first thinking, okay, now what do I need to do here, and then wonder what you're going to do. But to be ready right away to help try and save a life. CPR is not something that you can just learn once and remember. There aren't many things that are that way. Well, in a very real sense, we too need to learn and relearn the spiritual CPR that the Lord has done on every single one of us who believes in Jesus. The spiritual CPR from his word. And why do we need to do that? So that we too, at a moment's notice, can try to save someone's life spiritually and eternally. So, how would you respond if suddenly one of you collapsed right here in the worship service, besides calling 911? Would you know what to do? Would you know how to do CPR on that person? Or would you have to look to someone else for help? Well, how would you respond if someone came up to you in fear and distress and desperation and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Would you know what to say? Would you know how to respond? Would you know what words to tell that person? Or would you have to look to someone else to give you the words to help? We need to hear this powerful word of God over and over again. First of all, so that our own sinful flesh is beaten down by daily repentance. And secondly, so that love for God is in our heart and care and concern for others is also present. We need to know how to give spiritual CPR. So the first thing we need to know is, what's our chance of entering heaven? How am I saved? Do we know that our redemption, our salvation, is complete? It's assured? It's already done? Not because I'm a pastor, because you're good parents, or faithful spouses, or you give offerings, or you're faithful coming to the church, hear the word of God, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We first need to know that we cannot do anything to earn our salvation, but Jesus Christ has done it all for us. He's lived that perfect life of obedient love for us. He died upon the cross as a substitutionary sacrificial death to pay for the guilt and punishment of my sins and your sins and the sins of all people. And then he rose from the dead to assure us all of a resurrection to everlasting life. That's what we need to know to tell others. That's how we do spiritual CPR on others. Telling them, too, that they are lost and condemned, headed straight for hell, but that God loved them so much that he sent his Son to die for them, to live for them, to pay for all their sins. And then the Holy Spirit can breathe that new life of faith into their hearts. Paul says in our text, worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We worship God from the heart of faith, worked in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice, we boast, we praise about Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh, in ourselves, our own good works. That's why the third point in our bulletin this morning is so important. We should never tire of hearing the Word of God, because the gospel leads us to know Jesus as our priceless treasure. That's Paul's second major point of this sermon text. All that we are, all that we have, all that we can acquire or possess is rubbish without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Paul learned that. And so he wrote in verses 4 through 9 of our sermon text, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul's being a Jew meant nothing. His being a Pharisee with moral integrity, blameless in the keeping of the law outwardly, also zealously religious, in high standing among all of his friends and all the other Pharisees, was as good as dung, excrement from an animal, to the Apostle Paul without knowing Jesus. In fact, Paul willingly gave up all those things that he once thought were so treasures for him, for the one treasure which means everything, Jesus Christ. Very often we hear people list their priorities. They think they're being very non-materialistic. And they say things, well, first my priority is family, and then friends, and others, and then happiness, and then work, and then job and success. But if Jesus Christ is not number one in the throne of your heart, then you too are worldly minded. One man wrote that living the Christian life is one where we walk with our feet on the ground, but our heart in heaven. And finally, Paul says in verses 10 and 11 of our text, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying, I know Jesus, but I want to know him. Knowing Jesus more is more than just knowing about somebody, like we know about Governor Walker or President Obama We know about their political views, their opinions, their personalities. Knowing Jesus is more than that. I read somewhere a man wrote, knowing Jesus is like knowing your wife. He wrote, I know my wife. We've lived and loved together for many, many years. And yet, I do not know her. She's like a jewel to me with so many facets. Hardly a day passes without my discovering in her some new charm or beauty. We know Jesus Christ by faith. Holy Spirit's worked in our hearts. But we get to know him every day more and more and more as we experience his love, his mercy, and his grace. This word for knowing is a knowledge of experience. God's word tells us what Jesus has done for us. Creates a living faith in our hearts. And then as we live our Christian faith and we experience his great mercy, his grace, his strength, his power, his compassion, his forgiving love, we know him more and more and more. That knowing by experience grows. Every day we see his great mercy and wondrous forgiveness and his grace present in our lives. Yes, we know Jesus as our Savior by faith. And we want to learn to know him more and more every day. And someday we'll see him and know him face to face as he now knows us. May it be that through his word that has created a new life in you and me, a faith that knows him and continues to grow in that knowledge of him, experience his rich love, his mercy, his grace, knowing the power of his resurrection, and knowing also what his suffering and death did for us, paid for our sins, satisfied God's anger and wrath over against our sins, so that whether we lose everything in this life for the sake of Jesus, or keep everything in this life, we look upon all of it as being nothing. To the glory of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, our priceless treasure. I pray thee, dear Lord Jesus, my heart to keep and train, that I, thy holy temple, from youth to age remain. Turn thou my thoughts forever from worldly wisdom's lore. If I but learn to know you, I shall not want for more. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.